The cost of borrowing will have to rise by at least half of 1% when the Governing Council of the European Central Bank meets next week, according to Ireland's representative on the body, Central Bank Governor Gabriel McClough. With Eurozone inflation still at 10%, Governor McClough said today that an increase of 50 basis points should be the floor for their discussions. Crucial, he said, will be what's happening to energy costs. Oil and gas prices have been coming down, but a global price cap on Russian oil, which has come into force today, could drive up energy costs in the short term at least, with implications for inflation, according to experts. The cap, agreed by the G7 of industrialised nations, the EU and Australia, is designed to limit Moscow's ability to finance its war in Ukraine. However, Russia, which is the world's second biggest producer of crude oil, has said it will not accept the price cap and has threatened to stop exporting oil to countries supporting the measure. Let's talk to Dr. Paul Dean now, energy researcher with the Maori Institute at University College Cork. A very good afternoon to you, Dr. Dean, and thank you once again for joining us on the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian.
So what do you expect might be the impact of this price cap on the prices that we as consumers pay for our oil?
Yeah, international prices are very important for us here in Ireland, Brian, because they're the primary determinant, really, of what we pay for petrol and diesel at the pumps. And look, anyone driving around the weekend would have seen the very welcome news of petrol and diesel prices continue to reduce, albeit a little bit slower than we would have expected. And that's primarily because international oil prices are dropping. Now, today's announcement on the price cap on Russian gas is very important. Number one, as you said, because Russia are the second largest exporter of oil in the world. So what happens in Russia really is important for us here in Ireland, even though we don't import oil directly, but we do pay the global price for oil, which we pay at the pumps. Now, there's kind of two schools of thought, really, Ryan, on how this could play out. There's one school of thought, which is relatively valid, which is relatively optimistic as well, I guess, which hopes that this will be relatively meaningless and relatively benign. And that's because the price cap is actually slightly above the price that Russian oil is trading at the moment. So this will allow Russia to keep on exporting their oil to countries like India and China, which do import huge quantities of Russian oil at the moment. Now, that would allow markets to remain balanced, well supplied, and that would have a very little impact on price volatility. And that would be good for us from a market perspective in Ireland. Now, unfortunately, Brian, as well, there's the other perspective, which is more, I suppose, pessimistic and also, I suppose, equally as valid. There's a view that Russia will use this price cap to flex its muscle within oil markets, that they could potentially cut oil production, that they could use their influence within the OPEC plus cartel, which is the OPEC cartel plus the plus Russia. They could use that to reduce global oil supply. Now, that would be important for us in Ireland because the less supply of oil there is in the world, the more we pay for at the petrol and diesel pumps. Now, both these narratives, Brian, are both valid. They're both realistic. It's impossible really to say which one will play out, but what we can say is that we'll know within the next 2 weeks.
And if the Russians were to follow through on their threats to stop exporting to the countries supporting the price cap, or were to use their influence in OPEC to try to limit production, would there be a price to be paid by the Russians for that?
It's difficult to know how it would play out. Initially, there would be a price to be paid by us here in Ireland. If that scenario was to be played out, we would expect to see diesel and petrol prices rise quite significantly. And this is kind of a trend, Brian, that we've seen, I suppose, since the beginning of the invasion of Ukraine, that whenever there's a geopolitical shock or an announcement by Russia, prices rise very quickly. And unfortunately, they tend to reduce then very slowly preceding that shock as markets rebalance. So unfortunately, if Russia do go down that route and do flex that muscle, we will see the consequence of that pretty soon, within the next week or two, in the petrol and diesel prices around four quarts.
And what about Russia's influence within OPEC? How great is it? To what extent would they be able to bend the will of these other oil producers to fit in with their objectives?
They have a very strong influence within what we call the OPEC plus group, which is OPEC really plus Russia. Again, when you're the second largest producer of oil in the world, you do carry a lot of clout, you do carry a lot of influence, particularly, I suppose, what we've seen in a more strong alignment with the relationship between Russia and Saudi Arabia over the last number of months. There was an announcement by OPEC plus to cut oil production by 2 million barrels, which was a significant amount of oil, actually, at a time when the world needed more oil. And that's really, Brian, because of that relationship between Russia and Saudi Arabia. In many ways, I suppose, it's in response to the sanctions that are being put in place by the West.
And in relation to what seems to be a pretty clear strategy by the Kremlin, by President Putin, to weaponize energy supplies, particularly we've been talking about the conditions we're expecting here in this country over the next number of days, particularly as we head into winter. What's the evidence that is a strategy that's working?
Yeah, it's working, I suppose, unfortunately, right across Ukraine and right across Europe, Brian. Look, we're seeing the terrible hardship that people and civilians are paying in Ukraine at the moment in terms of access to electricity. In terms of the oil markets are a bit more immune, I suppose, really, to weather conditions. As we heard Joanna speaking there, it's really more the electricity markets, I suppose, and the heating markets are more responsive to cold weather temperatures, not so much driving. Now, the oil implications, Brian, will also have an impact not just for petrol and diesel, here in Ireland, but also for home heating oil, particularly about I suppose the 700,000 homes in Ireland that use kerosene or oil fueled heating to heat their homes. We would expect, if Russia follow through on their threats to do in response to this oil price cap, we would expect not only to see petrol and diesel prices rise, but also home heating prices rise as well at a time when we don't really need that.
Just a final question, Paul, in relation to security of supply. What's the current position at the moment within the European Union in relation to oil, diesel, and indeed gas stockpiles?
Yeah, so it's different for each fuel type, actually, Brian. So in terms of crude oil and different things like petrol and diesel, Ireland is relatively well supplied. And in many ways, actually, Brian, this was a consequence of the previous oil crisis in the 70s and the 80s. Ireland and a group of different countries got together, the OECD countries, and they decided to have a strategic reserve of oil and oil products. So Ireland actually has access to 90 days oil products if there was a crisis. And again, that's a throwback to the previous energy crisis. It's different for natural gas. We don't have any strategic store of natural gas in Ireland. So if something was to happen now, the likelihood is very, very low because we're well supplied from the UK. But if something was to happen, let's say around cybersecurity, around the physical connection between Ireland and UK for natural gas, Ireland would be in really significant trouble because we've no existing natural gas supplies to fall back on of any consequence here in the country.
Dr. Paul Dean from University College Cork, thank you very much for that.